Good morning. Did everyone get a chance to finish reading? This was a longer poem. So did everyone get a chance to read it? If not, you can ignore me while I do the announcements and keep letting it scroll up above my head, and I won't scold any of you for not making eye contact. Yesterday evening, two of our own were joined together in holy matrimony. It was a beautiful service for Nancy and Steve Farrow. This morning's flowers were actually donated in honor and in celebration of their union. They are now on their honeymoon, but please be sure to welcome them and congratulate them when they return. We are continuing our Lenten practices of praying without ceasing and, as I said, following the Poetry of Lent devotional based on Mary Oliver's poems, on a few selections of her poems. If you have not yet done so, please utilize the resources in the Commons area to enhance your individual and collective journey to the cross. We are also participating in the annual One Great Hour of Sharing, a denomination-wide mission effort that raises money for disaster relief, hunger programs, and community efforts to alleviate poverty. We will continue to collect money throughout Easter, well, all the way through Lent and into Easter. If writing a check, please make sure that you put One Great Hour of Sharing on the memo line. Next Sunday, March 23rd, we will celebrate Mr. Fred Rogers' birthday. I almost said Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. We won't celebrate the neighborhood. We'll celebrate his birthday and his lifetime spent being a good neighbor to all. We invite you to wear your best cardigan and nicest sneakers to church and bring children's books, specifically for children ages 6 weeks to 5 years, which will be donated to Friendship House. If you need more information, please see Priscilla Brown or the Midweek News. Do we have any other announcements for the good of all? Then as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship Christ, the peace of Christ be with you all.
Please stand for the call to worship. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I seek to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Come, my heart says, seek his face. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
And let us pray. Loving God, you save all who seek refuge in you. Grant that we who know your salvation may walk always in your light. Take courage in your faithfulness. And rejoice in your astounding goodness to us. Through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord is our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? With humble hearts, let us confess our sins before God and one another, praying first in silence. And together we pray. Merciful God, you have made us citizens of heaven, but we confess that we have set our minds on earthly things. We have let our desire for security restrain our commitment to serve the poor. We have let our fear of danger curb our obligation to love our enemies. We have let our love of things dull our generosity to the needy. We have let our craving for public status prevent our honesty about hidden sins. Yet, you know the desires of our hearts, and nothing is hidden from you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, conform our sin-weakened bodies to the glory of Christ, that we may be the body of Christ for the world. Amen.
Amen.
God, who is our light and our salvation, does not forsake us or leave us with our sin, but offers us the gift of healing repentance. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
You may be seated. I'll invite the children to come up and sit with me. And Leif's going to bring the pictures that I left in my office. Thank you, Bjorn, for running out for those really quickly. Some of you may have seen our nonverbal communication going on.
There's no room for me to step up here.
Oh, there's no room for you to step up?
To use this part to come up.
Okay, I see. There you go. You got it? Be careful. All right, you ready? Don't look at these yet. Okay. So, what does it mean to be a citizen?
I don't know.
You don't know. That's a good answer. What does it mean? You don't know either?
Huh?
Not so close. Not so close. What does it mean to be a citizen?
I don't know.
What are we citizens of? Oh, y'all are too smart. They said citizens of God. Y'all skipped ahead. Yes, are we citizens of the United States of America?
Yes.
Yes, that's our country, right?
Yes.
Are we citizens of Georgia?
I'm tired.
Yeah, that's our state. You're tired, I know. You're a tired citizen. So to be a citizen of something is to be a member of a country or a state, and you either are born there, like most of us were born in the United States, so we're citizens of this country. Are we citizens of England? No. Are we citizens of Australia?
Sometimes people get to
see God. Oh, yeah, and sometimes we get to see God. That's true. And you're skipping ahead, but I'm going to go with it. So we are also citizens of heaven. In fact, that's what's printed on the front of our bulletin. And so citizenship, when we're a member of a country, it comes with a lot of rights and privileges. There's things that we get to do, like we're allowed to vote. When you turn 18, you'll get to vote. We have access to certain government benefits, like Social Security. You'll understand that later, especially when you start paying into it. But we also have certain responsibilities as citizens, like paying taxes or serving on a jury. All of this is middle school level curriculum that you are not yet exposed to, so you're good with not knowing the answers yet. So all of this is true of what it means to be a citizen of a country. But in our scripture today, the Apostle Paul tells us that we are also citizens of heaven. And that is a little bit trickier when we're trying to decide and figure out what our rights and privileges are and what our responsibilities are. So I have some pictures here. Let's see. You peeked. That's okay. So let's see. Which one do you want to do first? You pick one. Which one do you want to do? You want to do that? Let's save that one for last. Which one do you want to do? There we go. That's a good one. All right, so what is this a picture of? These are books. What kind of books? What is someone who can read? What does it say at the top? Kids books, right? These are books for kids. They teach them how to say words and things. So are books something that we have in this world or something that they have in heaven? In this world, right? These are things that we have. I happen to be a huge collector of books. I have tons and tons of books. I don't read nearly as many as I own, but I have them. I collect them. But if we want to turn this earthly thing into something that we can be responsible for as citizens of heaven, what could we do with books? It's something we're going to do.
Return it.
Yeah, we could return them if we borrow them. Absolutely, that's a really good. And we could, what did I say from the, you might not have been listening, that's okay. What did I say from the pulpit? Next week is Fred Rogers' birthday. We're celebrating by bringing books, and we're going to do what with them? Yeah, we're going to give them. We're going to donate them to other children that might not have as many books as we do. So that's being a citizen of heaven, right? Sharing what we have. Okay. What about this one? You can keep that one. Okay. Yeah, this is hiking. Do y'all like to go on hikes? Yeah? That's something that we're going to start doing soon now that the weather's getting nice.
I get to, when it's so warm, I get to go on the pool.
Oh, you get to go in the pool too? Oh, that's fun. So what is something that we could do? Hiking is something great that we do in this world. What could we do to be good citizens, not just of this world, but of heaven too, when we're on hikes? What if we... Yeah, listen to Mother Nature and pick up trash. If we see trash along the way, we can pick up trash. What about if you're swimming in the pool and you see bugs in the pool? You can get Daddy to get them out, right? That's what daddies are good for. You don't eat the bugs. All right, what about this one? What is this family doing?
Shopping.
Shopping where? It might be a Walmart. What are they buying? What's in there?
Cereal.
Yeah, cereal and food, right? Do you guys go grocery shopping with your families? Yeah.
No.
That's something that we have to do here, right? Because as citizens of this world, we get hungry. What can we do? I know. What can we do as citizens of heaven with the food that we buy? Donate it for people that are hungry. Right? Okay, we're doing great. Okay, what is this one? I'm going to assume these are two brothers, and what are they doing with this teddy bear? They're fighting. They're fighting over the teddy bear. They both want to play with it. What could we do as good citizens of heaven? Yeah. What could we do as good citizens of heaven? Instead of fighting over things, we could share and be kind to one another. Okay, and then what's wrong with this little boy? He's sick. What can we do for people who are sick? Take care of them. We can pray for them. We can take them food or soup. Yes. And then what about this one? So I'm going to imagine, I don't know for sure, I'm going to imagine that one of the people in this picture is sad. She's had a really bad day. And what is her friend doing for her? Giving her a hug, comforting her. Is that something that we do as citizens of heaven? Yeah, absolutely. You guys did a great job. Okay, so we care, when we care for other people and when we care for all of creation, we are being great citizens, not just of the country we were born in, but of God's kingdom. Would you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for making me a citizen of heaven. Help me to always look out for others and be a good neighbor to everyone I meet. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, let's go back to our places. Let's pray. Lord, open your word by your Holy Spirit so that we, like Abraham, may believe your promises to us. Amen. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verses 1 through 12 and 17 and 18. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, excuse me, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down, it was dark. A smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Our second scripture lesson comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 17 to chapter 4, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you, even with tears. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Our reading from the Gospels this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem.' Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you would indulge me for just a moment, please close your bulletin and look at the image on the front. You may have already noticed that it is an upside-down map of the globe, and it has the sermon title, "Citizens of Heaven," on the top. The interesting thing about that is that with a globe, there's not actually a top or a bottom. It just goes around and around. Granted, I've always felt and been taught that the north is up and the south is down. I might even have assumed at one point that this was how God created the world. Now, maybe you're a little more in touch with logic than I am, and maybe you already knew that our concept of up and down and right and left, north and south, east and west, are all just constructs of our political and social boundaries, all created by people, not by God. Or perhaps, like me, you just hadn't really given it that much thought. It wasn't until I took a class in seminary entitled "Jesus in the Global Perspective" that my own perspectives changed. We watched a video of a Ghanaian theologian named Kwame Bediako, who was giving a lecture to his students in Ghana about the spread of Christianity. He had a world map mounted onto a board in front of the room, and it looked like every world map I had ever seen. But then he did something unexpected as he was speaking. He rotated the board until the map was upside down and explained that Christianity used to be central in the northern and western hemispheres. We know, of course, that Christianity, the Jesus movement, if you will, began in the ancient Near East, what is today Israel and Palestine, and expanded throughout Europe and parts of North Africa, although that's predominantly Muslim today. Then with exploration and colonization, Christianity expanded to the American continents. However, in the modern age, especially toward the turn of the 21st century, expansion of Christianity has exploded in Africa and Asia, so that if you were to look up the numbers of the Christians in the world, the charts have flipped. For example, I actually did look up the numbers. In the year 1900, according to the World Christian Database, there were almost 460 million Christians in the global north, with only 98 million Christians in the global south. By 2025, the global north grew to having almost 824 million Christians, while the global south now boasts of 1.8 million. Trillion. That means that Christians in the southern hemisphere grew to having That means that Christians in the southern hemisphere grew from roughly 17.6% in the year 1900 to 68.9% this year. Now, while I do not have the statistics on this, it is my understanding that there are a rising number of African and Asian missionaries who are being sent to Europe and the United States to mission to us. We are now the mission field. I think this is important and even vital to find ways to shift our perspectives and decentralize our own place in the world. When we keep ourselves at the center, everything we encounter is interpreted through our own lenses. Anything that is different from us is considered foreign, which too often has a negative connotation, or exotic, which sounds much nicer, but still connotes something other. When we centralize our own reality as being universal, we forget that to someone from Nigeria or Indonesia, our ways are foreign and exotic. Paul seems to have this urgency in helping us to decentralize our own sense of identity in relation to the places we live. He writes to the church in Philippi, but he tells them that they are citizens of heaven. He could just as easily be writing to the Christ followers in the United States. He tearfully warns us not to be like the enemies of the cross who stuff their bellies and set their minds on earthly things. Can you sense the desperation in his message? The ways of this world are on a collision course with destruction. Those who only seek to serve themselves are in for a rude awakening. Of course, the answer is to imitate Paul as he imitates Christ. When we allow our perspectives to shift and we decentralize our own experiences, it opens our eyes to the stories of others. Instead of filling our own bellies, we have the opportunity to empty ourselves for the sake of others, just as Christ emptied himself for us. Citizenship does indeed come with rights and privileges as well as responsibilities. As we continue on our journey through Lent, I invite you to look for ways in which you can shift your perspective on the things and people of this world. If we, like Abraham, have entered into a covenantal relationship with God, if we are truly citizens of heaven, then it is our duty, our right, and our privilege to imitate Christ in bringing heaven to earth. We shall turn systems upside down to elevate those society deems the least of these. We shall feed the hungry and clothe the naked. We shall give precedence to marginalized ahead of the powerful. We shall even allow our own voices to take a back seat in favor of giving space to voices that have been silenced for too long, voices we once thought of as foreign, exotic, other. Friends, we are living in a time in which our dual citizenship between heaven and earth is more important than ever. May we all, like Paul, walk as Jesus walked and love as Jesus loved. Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, please join me in our affirmation of faith, which comes from the Confession of Belhar. Children of God, what do you believe? We believe that God has revealed God's self as the one who wishes to bring about justice and true peace among people. That God, in a world full of injustice and enmity, is in a special way the God of the destitute, the poor, and the wronged. That God calls the church to follow God. That the church, as the possession of God, must that in following Christ, the church must witness against all the powerful and privileged who selfishly seek their own interests and thus control and harm others. You may be seated. And as we pray, we will pray, "My voice makes it all the way through." Let us pray together. God of heaven and earth, you have welcomed us as citizens of your kingdom in this world and in the next. We come before you in prayer, mindful of the privileges and responsibilities that go with this dual citizenship. While we long to enter your city gates, we know there is still work to be done within our own cities, nations, and global community. As loving neighbors, we care deeply and pray earnestly for the well-being of those in our midst. May all who are sick find healing, all who are in trouble find salvation, all who are defenseless find protection, all who are weak find strength, and all who are poor find support. May we, as a Matthew 25 church, meet their needs as we dedicate our lives to minister to this world, even as we anticipate our welcome into the next. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As citizens of states, provinces, and countries, we pray for all the nations of this world and for their leaders. Wherever there is poverty, war, or oppression of the human spirit, may your peace and justice fall from heaven to earth like a gentle spring rain. And may all who feel its cooling refreshment repent of the evil they do to one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As earthly residents, we pray for our planet, which is a gift from our Creator. May all who enjoy its beauty and splendor repent of selfish or thoughtless exploitation and tend our lands and seas with care so that all may share justly in its bounty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As future citizens of a new heaven and a new earth, we recognize that as the church, we are the body of Christ in this world, and are connected to the church triumphant in the world to come. Therefore, we pray for the church throughout the world. May all who claim to be followers of Christ embody what it truly means to be citizens of your kingdom, both on earth and in heaven. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Friends, give to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, and give to God the things that belong to God. Friends, let us offer ourselves and our gifts to God. Let us pray. O God, we have beheld your goodness to us. Accept the offering of the work of our hands and use us for the sake of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Friends, these Lenten days will take us to the cross of Christ. Go forward knowing that you do not go this way alone, nor do we have to be afraid, for the Word of God strengthens us and the Holy Spirit sustains us. And now may the God of Abraham lead us into freedom. May the Holy Spirit bind us to God's will, and may Christ, God's only Son, show us the way of true justice and peace. Amen.